Joy, and I'll begin to just look up joy. Praise the Lord. And joy is praise God. Joy is Greek, pronounced kaya, meaning cheerfulness, calm, delight, gladness, multiply greatly, to be exceedingly full of joy. And I, before the Lord saved me, I didn't have that type of joy. I had some happiness sometimes, but I did not have joy. I did not know even what joy was until the Lord came into my life and saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, giving me to be able to possess the 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, praise the Lord, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-25. Amen. So this morning I was just thinking about that joy. Amen. Joy in tough times. And as you read the book, if you read the book, you can read about how that the Lord gave me such unspeakable joy when I was going through my little trials. Also, Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So many times when I would go to church, I just praise the Lord with my whole heart, soul, and mind, even though I was going through a lot. Praise God. I just praised my way out of it. But that joy came deep on the inside through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the more I praised the Lord, the more he began to come in and bless me. Hallelujah. I praised him so and held on to his word. That he would answer prayers. Praise the Lord. And I could truly say today, God is my everything. He had blessed me so abundantly. And praise the Lord. He began to give me to read even in James. I'm like, Lord, how can we have that joy? You know, joy for people can be found any place and in some of the strangest of places. Being joyful is not dependent upon circumstances. Now, it must be pointed out at the very beginning that there is a natural joy possessed by lots of people, a natural joy in the beauty of music or nature. We can be happy when we see beautiful flowers. We can hear a song that we can just maybe want to move to the beat or to the music too. But praise the Lord, that's a natural joy. There's also a human joy in the life of relationship. And there's joy in the satisfaction of a job well done. There's a healthy enjoyment of life. But we must also note that this kind of natural joy is best. It's fleeting. It's not permanent. Amen. We can have that little joy for a little while, but it'll soon pass. But I'm talking about the possessing that fruit of the Spirit, joy that's in our life that we can go through no matter what we can go through. Amen. And like Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And and the joy of the Lord brings laughter. I love to laugh. Amen. And it said, laughter do it good. In fact, laughter do it good like a medicine. Amen. And I thank the Lord for the Lord. You can feel the joy of being alive in God's creation. I just thank the Lord for his joy when I get to thinking about heaven. If I'm going through deep trials and tribulations down here on earth, I begin to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Else, praise God, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, praise God, despising the shame. Amen. And is sit down at the right hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is so awesome all the time. Amen. Amen. I want to find a scripture because I want to read it right. Sorry, I love to get the word of the Lord right, because God's word is so precious and it is holy, and we have to not take our one jot or tittle, but we should always read it as it said and as it is written, not to add to it or not to take away from it. Amen. And it's still not 11:6. Praise the Lord. 11:6 is about faith, how without faith it's impossible to please the Lord. He is 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. So Jesus already paid the way. He did it all for us. One little song we used to sing all the time back in the day was, he laid the foundation. He opened up the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. What more can he do? The rest is up to us. And I thank the Lord. And I also was reading in James 1. And James was the half-brother of Jesus. When he wrote James 1, he was his salutation was to the 12 tribes, which were the Christians that were scattered abroad. Amen. And he was telling them that count it all joy when you fall into these diverse temptations and diverse trials. Why? Because James was an example. He was a witness that when they beat him back in Acts 5, 4, about around 39, 40 verses, they whipped him and they beat him and they sent him on their way. But it says that they were rejoicing because they were beaten for the Lord's namesake. Praise God. They didn't kind of even worthy to suffer the beating because they felt like they were inadequate to suffering and go through it. Praise the Lord. It says, and they departed, amen, know that 40 verse, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, that didn't stop them, they continued preaching the word, daily in the temple, and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord wants to be that same today. As we see the news and listen at the news and see what's going on, it's easy to have hatred in your heart sometimes, but God is a love, and he wants us to love as well. He doesn't love the sinners, but he does love the sinner. Praise the Lord. And nothing we can do can stop him from loving us. It is that unconditional agape love. For God so loved, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Will you trust him today to be your savior? Will you trust him to give you that joy in troubled times or in tough times? He's ready, willing, and able to do it if you let him. Praise the Lord. But one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Amen. God is so awesome. When he began to remind me of that, I began to say, Lord, I thank you. So that's what it was. Even as I shared times and times again through the book, in the book, about when my husband passed, how that God, he also gave me that joy of art for mourning. Amen. God is just on time. And I didn't understand it, and I'm sure others didn't understand it. Wow. I had so much joy. It was not like laughing, laugh out joy, but just deep down in my little soul, I knew all was going to be well. Not joy for them passing, but joy knowing that I'll see them again. Joy knowing that we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and evermore. That's why we can have joy in trials, knowing that we don't rejoice in our trials, but rejoice because we know God is a problem solver God, and that he can do anything but fail. We rejoice because we know that if he's with us, he's more than the whole world against us. Hallelujah. And that's why we can have joy, knowing that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. Bless you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Say it one more time, God is good. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
He's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Psalms 116. Verses 5-9. Recorded are these words. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Yes. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, yes, mine eyes from tears, yes, and my feet from falling. Yes. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yes. I want to speak from the subject this morning, trusting God. Is giving God thanksgiving. That's it. Trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. One of the things that I have found in my feeble studies of the book of Psalms is the fact that the writers, and they are multiple, have somehow dealt extensively with the issue of trusting God. Trusting God not in a temporary sense, but trusting God in a total sense. There are instances and situations in Scripture, in Psalms, where they give God praise and they give God thanksgiving as a reflection upon their own heart's experiences with God, where God, out of one thing or another, led them from bondage to captivity, led them out of defeat to victory, led them out of valleys to mountaintops. But their praise and their thanksgiving was based out of a temporary trust. A whole lot of us will trust God when it's comfortable to trust Him. When it's convenient for us to trust Him. But I've discovered it's really at those times that you don't really need to trust Him, because you have already seen what the end's going to be. The time to truly trust God as God would desire that you trust Him always, but if you're going to truly put trust to work, trust must be put to work when all hope seems to be gone. Trust works like light in darkness. Trust works better when everything else fails. Light works better in darkness. And so if you're going to let your light shine, yes, it's good to let it shine in the daytime, but the best time to let it shine is at nighttime. When you don't have supporting light or illuminating light around your light. See, it's all right. Even if we turned off all the lights in the building today, we'd still have enough light for you to see me, me to see you, and us to function like talking about, because we have what's called supportive light, meaning the SUN sun. is shining. And it's all right in the daytime to let these lights shine. But then the hours will keep on ticking. And the S-U-N sun will move from our observance. And there will come a lesser light called the moon. And these lights will show up better and brighter when the lesser supporting light comes into view, meaning when it gets dark. And how many of you will know that you walk around your house most days and don't have to turn on the lights until it gets dark? Some of us, I've had the experience of going, God's blessed us, and we have housing and lighting, windows and all, where we don't even have to burn these kind of lights during the day. But God wants us to know that so many of us like the day when things are well, we don't trust Him. And strangely enough, when things get bad, we very seldom trust Him. I found out that trust should be a continual participatory celebration of what you believe in God. So I found out if you trust Him when it's good, and if you just keep on trusting Him when it gets bad, your trust will be right intact. I want you to see something here, because David is talking about some other things that I want to bring into play. He says, first of all, gracious is the Lord. Now, all of the things that he's going to say about the Lord, he is speaking experientially. And I think it is so wonderful, my brothers and sisters, when you can talk about the goodness of the Lord, but based upon your own experience. Because I don't care how many other folk get up and talk about how good he is and what he's done, it's not going to impact you until you have had an experience where you know for yourself, God's been good to me. So look at what David says. He says, gracious is the Lord. Now, he starts off by talking about graciousness because he has seen God give him liberty and give to him freedom in some areas in life where he, if God had not been gracious, he would not be experiencing not only life, but the level of life that God has allowed him to live on. See, how many of you know that God can let you live, but he don't have to let you live on a high plane? See, his grace will let you live. All right. He'll give you another day, but he don't have to make it all well in the day that he gives you. Yeah. So when he talks about gracious, it goes beyond the word grace, and it talks about a continual action of showing another level and a greater degree of graciousness. Yeah. Gracious is the Lord. Now look at what he says. And righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Now, he starts off verse 1 by saying he's gracious. He ends up by saying he's merciful, but in the middle, he don't want you to forget he's righteous. Now, that's one of the reasons why, listen, that you got to see the only reason why we get his grace and his mercy is because he's righteous. And he does not deal with us according to our own shortcomings. How many of y'all will be witnesses to that? How many of you will be honest and say, Brother Pastor, the Lord has not given me what I deserved? Lord, when y'all wake up here. Because hath the Lord given you what you deserve death, hell, and total damnation. But he looked beyond your faults and is still me, so he hadn't given you what you. Next time you hear somebody say, I ain't got what I deserve, you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if we had received what we deserved, we would not be in this place today. But his righteousness, Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God. His righteousness came and provided a way for us to enter back into fellowship with God and to be in the presence of God and to experience the knowledge and the peace of God because he is righteous. Now I want you to see something else. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low and he helped me. Now again, I don't care whatever simple means in any terms and definitions, he means simple. Now there are just some things that you've got to understand mean just what they say. Look at what he said. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. Now, if you don't believe it, just think about how many times You didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how to make it. Is that not a simple case of not knowing what to do, how to do it, where to do it, and when to do it, and yet the Lord preserved you? Well, even when you think that you got where you are on your own, there are still some places you're trying to get to that you can't get to unless the Lord helps you get there. So you're going to understand simple in the sense of having a low estate, having or being weak or limited in ability to get the total life's needs met for oneself. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low. Not many of us choose to fall. Not many of us choose to take the wrong way. Not many of us choose all the time to be in the predicaments that we are in. But sometimes God allows those things to happen for our better good. Notice the word says, I was brought low and he helped me. Now, the fact that he was brought low meant that he himself did not totally and of himself make the conditions and or the situations. Sometimes circumstances come that way. If you don't believe it, just read the book of Job. Job was brought low. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes you will be brought low, not because you've been bad, not because you've done wrong, not because you've sinned, or not because you've missed it, but sometimes he wants to bring you low so he can lift you higher. And so he says, I was brought low. But can I tell you, when you are brought low, it has a way of bringing you closer to God. You think about the average one of us, when things are really going good in our lives and everything is well, how much do we really give to God in the way of praise? I mean, how much do we really take our time and make time to really give God the sincere praise of our heart? But let trouble come and let it unpack its bag at your door. And let it not go when you want it to go. And when the meager meals get more meager and it's steady eating up everything you got, just let trouble stay there long enough and it will drive you to your knees to talk to God a little longer than you would have talked to him if trouble were not around. Listen at this here. The Bible says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord had dealt bountifully with thee. Now he's saying to his soul, because you need to understand, brothers and sisters, that where you are not, when your relationship with God is not in a place where you are in constant fellowship with God, there is no peace and rest in your soul. If you depart from God, either by the turning away of your own desires or walking in sin, there is a separation. And when there is a separation, there is a restlessness down in your bosom. And you can't do anything to fill that void but get back in a right fellowship with God. And he's saying, now that when I was down and the Lord raised me up and brought me back in the right fellowship with him, he says to his soul, now return unto thy rest. Why? Because it is well. And if it is well, then you don't have anything to worry about. So he tells his soul to rest because, listen at this, the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. Now when I think about that, my soul rejoices. Because if you can't say for yourself that God has dealt bountifully. What is bountifully, Pastor? Bountifully means to give you more than you ought to have. Bountifully means exceeding, abundantly, more, extra. And in this region, lanyap. It means to give you a whole lot more than you deserve. It's an extra helping of something. Listen, he says, God has dealt bountifully with thee. When you look back and see all of the times that the Lord should have cut you off, and he didn't cut you off, you need to say to your soul, he's dealt with me bountifully. How many times have you been driving down the road and could have been killed, and a little scratch on you? He has bountifully. How many times when you've been down and didn't know if you'd ever get up again and you thought it would be the end, and he gave you another chance? He has dealt bountifully with you. How many times have you been sick and it could have been the end, but he calls healing to body raised you up again. He has dealt bountifully with you. When you look back and see how God has dealt with you, I ain't talking about your loved ones, I'm talking about you. See, what bothers me so much sometimes, saints get in the church and they act like he ain't done nothing for me. I ain't really been all that bad. I've always been somewhat good. But can I tell you, somewhat good is not enough to get into the kingdom of God. You have got to be perfect. And because you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and you've been missing it ever since you've been here, the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You've got some sins you don't even know about yet that he's going to show you, and yet he keeps looking beyond them and blessing you. He's dealt bountifully with you. Oh, when you think about Thanksgiving Day and the eating experience, it is a day of bountiful eating. You got more food. You couldn't take just a little bit of everything on your plate in one sitting. That's why you got to come back again and take a little nap and come back up. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. It's not like any other day's eating experience. It's bountiful because it is a day where you're saying, God, you've been good. And just as the bounty on the table is spread out there, when you think of his goodness, every day he's got new benefits and new blessings, and he spreads them out on the table for you and says, help yourself. I went to a buffet the other day, and the only reason why I went there was because the sign says we got 80 items on the buffet. Y'all ought to hear me here. I like bounty on the buffet, and that's what God has done for us bountifully. Bless us. Look at what he says. Verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now look at this, because I need you to see, David is not talking about somebody externally, no enemy outside at this point. He's talking about eternalities in the internal parts of his makeup. He ain't talking about the flesh. You know, he saved me out of hell or the hellish experience. He's talking about his soul inwardly now. He's talking about the reference to God saving him now. Look at this. He says, look at what the word says. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. He's talking about God forgiving him of his sins and bringing him in a right relationship with him and giving him the ability to have fellowship with him. He's talking about God has saved his soul. Now, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when you know you're saved, I ain't talking about thinking you're saved. I'm talking about knowing you have a holy attitude. Folk that know they're saved, it's just something about them. They don't act like those believers who don't believe that they're saved. It's something about them. I mean, they walk in the knowledge that I am saved and I am sanctified and I am set free and I am delivered. I am filled with his Holy Ghost. I am sealed. I am a conqueror. Moreover, it's an attitude, because you know you have what he says you have. I don't care if it ain't manifested now. I got it. I am who he says I am. You might not see it now, but it's on the way. It might look like I'm on the bottom, but brother, I want to tell you, he's about to turn that thing upside down and make me on top. Look like you keep finishing last. That's all right. He said, a lie shall be first, so you're going to know you're the head. The devil gets upset because he can't play on you and hang on you and rail on you like he does, telling you you ain't what God says you are. You can look at the devil straight in the face and say, you're a liar. I'm saved because he said, I didn't do anything to deserve being saved in the first place. So my salvation is because of his graciousness, his righteousness, and his mercifulness. But look at this, look at this, look at this now. You got to get your soul saved